And just look at verse 9, because this we're kind of coming to the end of the book. This will be the last message I'm going to bring in Colossians. But in chapter 1, in verse 9, a long time ago, when we were studying this, but the way the Apostle Paul started his discussions with those at Colossae was to say this in verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good works, increasing in the knowledge of God." It's significant to recognize that's where he started, because you'll see a tremendous parallel to those verses in his prayer for them as we conclude this chapter, to include the book together. He had a heart that they would walk worthy in wisdom. And you know what? He has that same desire for every one of us to walk worthy in wisdom, absolutely burdened for the lost, aware that we are his messengers. Now, in verse chapter 4, we looked at this last week, but it's really important to see it in its context. In this first explaining of the passage section, I'm really going to share with you some questions that I would typically ask myself in a passage, because what I'm trying to do in this first part is show how we can look at passages as we read them in our devotional time and challenge ourselves and think through what it's saying and before we apply it to our lives. Too often our quick 5-minute devotion times are all about getting an application and running. And I don't think that is the right way to read the Word of God. As a matter of fact, I know it's not, and I know it's very dangerous. So, having said that, I want you to follow along as I read this. By the way, this word continue right here is in from here to verse the end of verse 6, there are two imperatives. An imperative is a command. This is one of them. This idea of continuing in prayer is a command. And then he will talk about walking in wisdom. The walk is the second command. And then he has what is called participles. They're words that are action almost like a verb. They're connected to the verb, and they support, and these other ones support this continuing in prayer, build on it. It's as we get into the walk worthy, these other participles support the thought. Now, that probably went a little bit further than I needed to go, but at any rate, continue earnestly in prayer, and we know from that, we talked about being faithful in our prayer. And I'll tell you what, I'm challenged to the core to increase my faithfulness in prayer, be just taking it to another level in this area. And then it says, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And to be vigilant is be watchful. That's what we talked about last week. We need to be alert when we're going through our Christian life. And we ought to, in our alertness, be communicating that with our Lord. And then the next one is with thankfulness. In everything, we're to be thankful. Yet, you see Christians that are moaning and groaning and complaining. Now, I had a real opportunity to do the same this morning. And I actually thought about it as I, in my heart, I was a little frustrated. I showed up, and they had plowed our lots, but they had done it around 4 o'clock this morning. And frankly, when I drove up, it didn't look like they had been plowed. Now, if you were hanging around a little bit, you could see, yeah, they did plow it, but it snowed a lot afterwards. And I also simultaneously got phone calls and that we had really nobody shoveling the sidewalks. That was a little frustrating, okay? But you know what? I remembered this. And I said, you know what? Praise God. And in the end, I am so grateful for those that showed up and helped. And it got done. We got the sidewalks done. It's a reminder to me personally. It was a real good reminder before I preach on a topic like this. That, listen, God's at work. We just need to do our part. And don't be looking over our shoulder where other people are. Just do our part. God is in it. We ought to raise our hand and ask for help. But we ought to be thankful that we have the capability to do what we do. Amen? Do you get my point? And then he talked about praying also for us was purposefully. So last week I brought a 4-point outline that said, be faithful, be watchful, be thankful, and to be purposeful in our prayers. Have a focus on our prayers. In other words, it isn't just, you know how I love listening to my grandkids pray. But even little kids get in the habit of, they kind of memorize the way they pray. And they have a routine they go through. We shouldn't be in such a routine that it means nothing. I'm not saying it means nothing to them. But you get a sense that they may have just memorized the words and are, it isn't really coming from their heart. It's just going through the motion. To start, they got to learn to pray. You know, I shouldn't be negative about that either. But what I'm saying to us, we ought to be purposeful. And look at what he was purposeful about. He said, now here's the point. I want you to be purposefully praying that I'd be effective in ministry. That God would open to us a door for the word. That's for ministry. To speak the mystery of Christ, that I'd have an opportunity to share the word. For which I am also in chains. Well, listen, it isn't all positive is what he's sharing. It's a reminder that, hey, don't get discouraged. He is sitting here writing from prison with all of these positive being thankful and be about the work and praising the Lord. And he is literally incarcerated. What excuse do we have to be grumbling? And then he goes on, which I also am changed that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Even in prison, he was praying that I could be effective. Let me be effective. Let me reach whoever it is that I'm around. Now, that's the passage. Now, it goes right in to this next sentence, and a couple sentences, actually. And the word walk is the second command in this section. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. The first one was, well, let me ask the question. How is this verse related to the verses just before it? Great question, isn't it? Because we're supposed to read our passages and read our scripture in context. He had just told everybody to pray for him to have effective ministry and to pray intelligently. Faithfully do it. Watchfully do it. Thankfully do it. And purposefully do it. And pray that I'd have an effective ministry. Pray that I'd not be discouraged. Pray that I'd be able to say the right words so that it would dig deep into the hearts of the people he's talking to. And now he goes directly into walk in wisdom towards those who are. How is it related? He had just told them to pray for him, and now he is challenging them, which by the way is us, challenging us to do just what he said that he wanted prayer so that he could do. He wants them and us to walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. We'll talk about that. Next question. What is meant by the toward? Well, he had a focus. He is saying to us, you know, it's interesting, by the way, It's very important for Pam and I to get along. We're husband and wife. We're both believers. That is very important. But he is saying to us, you be very, very careful to walk in wisdom. And he wasn't bringing out that I walk in wisdom with Pam or towards Pam, but I'd walk in wisdom when I interact with non-believers. You know, I had just studied this passage before we had dinner with your family. And some of the family are not committed believers. And I went into the dinner with that in mind. I said, I got to walk in wisdom towards them. Now, what is it? Well, we'll see. He gives further explanation. But he doesn't want us to do things that might be quite natural to us that would necessarily build up a barrier. Don't do that. Walk in wisdom. What relationship is indicated by the use of the participle redeeming? So it says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Who are those that are outside? Those are those that are outside the family of God, is clearly what it's talking about. Those that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, like we have the privilege of knowing. We got to really be careful how we interact with them. And then he says, redeeming the time. Well, redeeming really has this concept of being careful how you use it. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. You know, when I think about that, I couldn't help, as I study the passages and I'm planning to preach it, and I start saying, okay, now how would I put this in practice? And it wasn't very long after that. There I was going to lunch with another believer, and we were there, and I was thinking about it as the waitress came up to us. Walk in wisdom towards those who are without. And we both tried to strike up a conversation with her and asked her if we could pray for her and that type of thing. But that's trying to redeem the time. What's another way you could have gone to lunch? Could have gone to lunch and enjoyed the fellowship, ordered your meal, and really not even recognized who it was that was waiting on you. You ever been there? That's very easy to do. It's very easy to interact with a ton of people and not really think of them as an eternal soul. We're just doing our thing. And I don't have time for this, Pastor. You're crazy to think that. No, I'm not being crazy. I'm being biblical. He is saying, redeem the time. Every single intervention we have is sovereignly designed by God. So we need to be mindful of these seemingly casual and then use our time wisely. Redeem our time. What is implied? What is the implied verse by your speech always be with grace? What's the implied verb? There's not a verb there. You know, it's not saying, but what's implied by this statement? Your speech always be with grace. Well, I think the implication is be speaking with grace. You take the word, speak, and make it into the verb. Be speaking with grace. Speak with grace. When you're out with them, speak with grace. Now, what does that not allow you to do? Be absolutely silent. Not care about talking to them. Not engage them. But again, it takes time. It takes focus. You got to think about it. So now, how can I represent the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about being crazy, you know, and out of balance. But I'm saying just in our normal life, be mindful that we cross paths with tons of people. And we are challenged by Scripture to be using these opportunities. That's my point. I think that's Paul's point. Be speaking with grace. Now, speaking with grace means, I'll tell you, from my standpoint, think about this. Who are some of the people you really, really like to be around? And then you start asking yourself, why do I like being around them? And often you'll recognize it's because they seem to care about you. They seem to like being around you. They like being around you. They seem to care about you. They seem to be interested in you. Is that not true? Now, guess what? What it is challenging us to do is to be that type of person. And so what we need to do is when we come in contact with people, recognize we are the representative of the Savior. Redeem the time. Be interested in them. Be gracious towards them. Be kind to them. Be interested. Ask questions about them. And don't get caught up in the culture that we have. We are existing in, which is so cold and indifferent, particularly for some people that we interact with for services that we get. And we just are, you know, it's like they're not there. And that's why we're, as a culture, so you saw the thing that Amazon is testing now. You know the new store that Amazon's coming up with? They're piloting several around the nation. There is... Apparently, there must be somebody in there because they're watching for security. But you walk in, and with your phone, you just walk around and look at things. and you take some sort of a picture of it, and it registered it, and it'll charge it to your account, and you walk out, and then it is sent to you. You never check out. You never talk to any checkout person. You walk in, you look around and see, oh, I like that, I like that. Okay, I'm done now. And you're walking out, and it is paid for as you walk out the door. Just, you don't even stop to pay for it. It's electronically paid for. Now, whether that will go over, it probably will. The truth is, we all sit there saying, would I like that or wouldn't I? Well, the truth is, I shop like that. I am not a, my wife, Christmas time is a challenging time for us because she will like to go into a Walmart or to a shopping mall and just go around and look for gifts for the kids. And the quote, she's saying, I'm getting ideas. And this can take forever. So we finally come up with a plan that works for us. We go there and I have my iPhone and I find someplace and I read. And she goes around, and then we'll have a cup of coffee, and she shares with what she has found. And that's how we kind of do it. And it's working. I'm not saying that's really a good thing, and I'm sure somebody could say we probably need marital counseling on this, but the point is we found a balance. But my personality is I don't like all that interaction. I don't like wandering. I don't like wasting it. It seems like a waste of time. We got to be careful. There is no soul that is a waste of time. That's the point. What is meant by your speech? Let your speech always be with grace. What is that? That is your conversation. Now, this is, first of all, the word let, by the way, it's just added. It's not in the Greek. That word is just added so that we can, in English, it can flow a little smoother. Your speech, always be with grace. That always is huge. It's overwhelming in my, because have you ever listened to some Christians talk and they're always complaining? Ever been around people that are really known for complaining? Do you recognize how in violation of Scripture they are? That is not seasoned with grace. To complain and gossip and moan and groan about somebody else and other people, you're unbiblical and you ought to repent of it. And you know what? Just saying it, preparing for this message, it was a tremendous challenge for me to say, I can't do that. That's not the right way to say that. And I had to constantly be working through. And I suspect if you purpose to say, all right, I'm going to work in this area, you're going to find the same challenge. It's easy to spend a lot of our words not being seasoned with grace. To whom is the speaking done? Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. You know, it goes back to the previous verse, particularly to those that are outside. The outsiders, those who are unbelievers, we need to be very, very careful. One thing that you get from this passage overall is Paul is saying, you know, the way you just go about life is really an important witness. And if you recognize, what does John, the Gospel of John, start with? What are the opening words? In the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Who was with God? The Word. He chooses, God himself chooses to identify himself with Logos, which is the Word. And now he comes back here and he says, let your speech always, it's Logos, your words. Your words and my, we live in a creation where communications is central. How do people come to Christ? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. It is verbal. communicative. That's how we have relationships. Be careful. Especially he is saying here, be careful the way you talk to unbelievers. And I would say one thing for me, be careful how you talk to unbelievers who have done something that you think was not right. Because we are God's messenger. And we may be building up a wall. They may recognize that we profess to be a Christian. And they're turned off saying, hey, I don't want to be like that. What is meant by always? It means in all circumstances. And what relationships is indicated by the use of the word seasoned? Seasoned. You know, the idea of salt is an interesting thing. You recognize salt to be used as a preservative. It can, in some cases, the word is also used as an antiseptic for food and that type of thing. Salt is used in that manner. But it is also used to enhance the flavor. It is absolutely crystal clear in my mind that that's the reason why the word seasoned is there. Seasoned with salt. We are supposed to be doing what we're doing and communicating with the world in such a way that it is tasteful. It is gracious. It is enjoyable. It is exciting to be around. Now, Sarah, I'm not trying to embarrass you here, but your ministry to the Somalis. It is clear to me when I observe what she does. One of the most significant things is she is friendly, and they are absolutely left with the understanding that she is really interested in them. She really cares about them. And you know what the ultimate response to that is? They're interested in her, and they're glad to have her around. And guess what? Sarah, you're a wonderful example in that area, but that's the example that many of you demonstrate. But we all should be mindful that that is really important. Yes, particularly when we're reaching out beyond to be gracious, to be friendly, to be fun, to be exciting, to be very interested in others. Genuinely interested, not artificially, but genuinely. One of the best ways I've learned to do that is pray. You know, one thing I recognize, I had a couple people that were really causing me some grief. I've said this many times now, so I won't belabor the point, but what was the one changing factor is I started to pray for them. I prayed not that God would eliminate them, although there was a temptation at the start to pray that way. Just remove them. Get them out of here. And you have some support for that, by the way, in the Psalms. So I was justifying that for a little while. But I backed away from that. I said, this is going to go nowhere. Nowhere good, at least. And I changed, and I started to pray, Lord, help us get beyond some of these tensions that exist. And give me wisdom on how to reach out to them and befriend them and have them recognize that Jesus Christ loves them as well. Okay, that's what it's talking about here. And then what is meant by seasoned with salt? It means that you and I are the enjoyable thing that is added to life for them. That makes life fun, makes life interesting, makes life meaningful. I missed one. Let's see if I can get there. Some reason or another. How is it necessary to answer? Now, listen. Why? It would have probably been a better way to say that. That you may know how you ought to answer every person. I'll tell you one of the things that it's talking about in that last one. You need to know what you really believe. Now, you don't have to know the answer to every tough apologetic question. But you need to know who Jesus is. You need to know how Jesus has interacted and connected with you and how you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And just go with that. And when they ask you tough questions about things that you may not have, it says, you know what, that's a great question. I don't really know, but I do know this. Jesus loves me, and he cares for me. And you know what, he loves you too. Because the Word of God says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And to whom is each one? You notice that then? Answer to each one. It talks about the breadth of our responsibilities. You and I are the ambassador of the Almighty. We are the Almighty's ambassador, and we are responsible for everybody we come in contact with to be a wonderful example of the love of Jesus Christ. It's time for a special music, and then I promise I'll come back and apply this in a very straightforward, simple manner.
Dawned upon the world, promised from creation, God's salvation now unfold, hope for every nation, not with fanfares from above, not with scenes of glory, but a humble gift of love, Jesus born of Mary. Sounds of wonder fill the sky with the songs of angels as the mighty Prince of Life shelters in a stable. Hands that set each star in place shapes the earth in darkness. Cling now to a mother's breast, vulnerable and helpless. Shepherds bow before the from distant lands, prophesy the story. God, a king is born today. Incense, God is with us. Myrrh, his death will make a way, and by his blood he'll win us. Adam, Son of Man, given as a ransom, reconciling God and man, Christ a mighty champion. What a Savior, what a friend, what a glorious mystery. Once a babe in Bethlehem, now the Lord of history.
Amen. The application. First of all, there are just really three thoughts here. We are to walk in wisdom. Actually, just what we talked about this morning is what I'm talking about. Be aware of how important it is how we interact with the lost. That we have the words that we have as a congregation. What a beautiful opportunity we have tonight. We have these people that are coming in and they're very much in a foreign land, that we would just be gracious towards them. And be interested in them. And be gentle with them. Recognizing they are going to be really feeling like they don't fit. And they don't belong. And they're insecure about everything. It'll probably be the first time they've been in an American home. Just the way our houses are organized would be vastly different. We need to be gracious. We need to be interested in them as individuals, not as feathers that, you know, we say we accomplish this and we put a feather in our hat. Not that, that they are genuinely people who need the Lord. But before that, they need to get to a point where they trust us. And we need to be the ambassador. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Walk in wisdom. That means engage your mind, apply what is taught in Scripture and what you've heard in preaching, apply it to the way you interact. I think of Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Boy, that's an interesting one. It's on us to be peace-loving people, demonstrating the love of Christ. Be wise in your behavior towards non-Christians. In other words, you know, to be wise, here's the point that I'm trying to make sure you don't leave without catching. You can't do this in automatic pilot the way Paul is calling this. He is telling us to engage our mind in this thing and use what we have read and taught and learned and gained from our walk with him and use it in our relationships, in our conversations. Number two, use words that match the Lord's compassion for people. One thing that I am mindful of is the reminder in John, he tells us, who is to do the convicting? It's the Spirit of God. We are a messenger. We are an ambassador. We are not the executioner. We're not to be even the judge. Let your words be seasoned with salt. Gracious, gentle. Paul appears to be concerned by Christians whose fanatic behavior prejudiced the outsiders against the gospel. He seems to be saying, hey, be careful, you guys. You sometimes are apparently given the wrong message out there. You know what the truth is? In some cases, we are too. We are getting upset with a guy who just worked on our car and it didn't work. I took my car to get it aligned. It was not doing well. You know, it was always going to the side. And I take it in and they align it. I go out. And now, instead of it just drifting off to the side, I'm literally holding onto the steering wheel. It didn't get better. It got worse. You go back. How are you going to handle that? Well, the world says, well, you ought to tell them whether you're really messed up and you had better get it right now. That's the way the world interacts in these things. You know, I think of the phone call I got this morning. I called a guy that was supposed to, he's been plowing our church since we've had a church. You know, he's related to someone's in this auditorium right now, so I'm going to be... But anyway, always been really faithful. But here we were. I show up at about 6:30 or 7 here this morning to start moving snow. And to me, it looked like it hadn't been scraped off. Turns out it had been around 4 o'clock, but we had a lot of extra snow. I got a clue in that there might have been some problems because if you go up in the upper lot, the blade for the truck is up there. That's not a good sign for somebody that does this for a living. That implies, and in fact, is when I finally talked to Steve, he was having a pretty tough night. I said, you know what, Steve? I understand. Just we're already here. It isn't going to matter if you came back at this point. It would be come back later on. Just make sure we're cleaned up for tomorrow morning. He said, man, I'm. You know, I said, you know what, Steve? This stuff happens to all of us. We're okay. That's what I told him. I trust you understand why I did that. He was exasperated with the way his day had been going and his night had been going. And as a messenger of the Savior, I wanted him to recognize that, no, Christians respond differently to this. Do events ever happen in your life that things don't turn out the way you were planning? And sometimes you even end up disappointing other people? For sure, we've all been there. Why don't we show that grace to other people? Get my point? Instead of being like the world. And by the way, we ought to be really careful the way we talk with our those closest to us and interact with them, because that's sending a huge message also. Walk in wisdom. Number two, redeem the time. Now, when I think of the word redeem, I actually think of time that I've missed in the past. And I'm sure that is there is some truth to that. But you and I cannot go back and do anything about yesterday. You know that, don't you? We can maybe do today by going back and asking for forgiveness in that regard. But you don't get the time back. The 24 hours of yesterday are gone forever. But we have today. And I am absolutely convinced Paul's primary thought is use today wisely. And for some, it means make the changes that need to be made so that you are redeeming it in a way that is meaningful for the Lord. Paul wanted persons to be attracted to the gospel, not repelled from it. And we are that messenger who could repel them if we have the wrong spirit, the wrong words, the wrong attitude, the wrong tenor, the harshness. Do anybody in here want to be treated harshly? Rudely? But you know what? Christians do that. Let it not be. Gentle as doves. We are to be alive to every opportunity to witness in the chance encounter. Here is my point. We are living very fast-paced days. Our culture is fast-paced. You know, I'm guilty of this myself, and I get going so quick that I can go through and run into people, and I'm sure I don't radiate the type of interest that I should. To get to my point, we need to slow down and recognize that we are His messenger. He has a plan. And we don't have to be frustrated with everything that changes to our day that is beyond our schedule. We all have interactions that come abruptly. They come for me, it is often I come home for just a few minutes. I want to see Pam and I'm going to another appointment. And I don't know how it is, but right in the midst of my 15 minutes, I just want to come home and say hi to Pam, have a cup of coffee, check in, just touch base. And I know more and get there and somebody's knocking at the door. And I sit there and say, you got to be kidding. Then, you know, the next half an hour is involved in whatever this is. And then I am now late for my other appointment. And I never did say hardly anything more than, hi, Pam. But you know what? Instead of being frustrated with it, I'm being very transparent with you. I have really been working on this, saying, all right, Lord, this is an opportunity. What a blessing to have my neighbor come over. You know, she needs the Lord. Yes, she is drunk once again, but she still needs the Lord. That's even a greater reminder. And maybe I can be a help to her. You get my... Okay. Here's the point. We have to choose when we interact and come in contact with other people. But just remember this, destiny is in every choice. Do you understand what I'm saying there? You do not know how God could use that for eternity if you just were wise and redeemed the time and consistent with His way. And by the way, it becomes fun. It's one of the reasons why I have a things to do list right now, but I keep track of the other things that I do so that at the end of the day, I'm not exasperated. I say, well, this is what I thought of, and I celebrate it. I say, and I didn't recognize God was going to have me do these things instead. And phone rings. And there we are. Walk in wisdom, redeem the time. And the last one is speak words of grace. Be careful with your conversations. Every one of us should bow our heads and say, Lord, help me see it. If I am saying things in such a way or using words that I ought not to use with any of my interpersonal relationships. Because the truth is, we all could improve. With very rare exceptions, all of us have opportunities to speak with people every day. But are you speaking to them with a mind on eternity? I would say, I think not in a lot of cases. How can we speak and what can we say that we can either bless or curse or create or destroy? I want to be on the blessing side. I want to be on the creating side. I do not want to be involved in the cursing or negative talk, and I don't want to be in the destroying of people. Before I came to Christ, I was, you know, very much into business, and I was very much into excelling. And we used to laugh, the group of us that were moving along in the corporation. It was a Trane air conditioning company. Those were us. We were winning the contest. We were getting promoted and that sort of thing. And we would talk about get ahead by climbing over dead bodies. It was all right with us that our supervisor, our manager, if they tripped up and we got their position. And that was a major change for me when I came to Christ. I said, this is not right. This is really wrong. And I repented of that. That was one of the early changes that the Spirit of God got a hold of me. He said, don't do this anymore. You do your level best to make whoever is above you look as good as they can look all the time. Never do anything to have them do your best to cover their mistakes. Because I think God is honored by us doing our best to help others. Notice, James says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great the forest of the little a fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among other our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Redeem the time and walk in wisdom, and particularly around how you talk. Notice what Job says. I love this verse. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. He's talking about the power of our conversation in interacting with others. And we can come along and help people that are getting crushed by the world just by being kind. And I think God is exactly calling for that. Be a friend. You know, if you have a plan, I'm going to give you a threefold plan. This is how to be used to the Lord. Be a friend. Make a friend. Go out of your way to reach beyond and win a friend. And when I say win a friend, I'm talking about in this friendship, in this trust relationship, share Christ. Lead them to the Savior. Because then you really have a friend. The friend that you have, I mean, I recognize it in my own family. I am, because of my relationship with Jesus Christ and many in here's relationship with Jesus Christ, I am actually so much closer to others that are not my biological family. That's the power of winning them to Christ. The relationship can be so rich, so precious. Speak words that are interesting. I'm going to give you 8 of these. Speak words that are interesting. Speak words that are charming. Speak words that are earthy. And what I'm trying to say there is they connect. Don't use words that don't connect with life. They're connecting with everyday life. And then be pleasant. Pleasant words. Interesting words. Charming words. Earthy words. Pleasant words. And helpful words. Words that will guide them, edify them, lift them up. Affirming words that, yes, that's the right way. and challenging words, saying, now you might want to try to do this a little more. That's okay to do. We ought to be doing that with one another. We ought to be edifying one another and inspiring words. And I'll tell you one thing that is inspiring is the application of Christ's words and God's word in lives. That is so, so powerful. Walk in wisdom, redeem the time, and speaking with grace. That's a threefold point of these two verses. It's really something that every one of us can do. You can walk in wisdom if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can redeem the time, and you can use gracious words. If we do, the more we do, the further the cause of Christ. We further the whole purpose of our Lord. We are a better ambassador. Why don't you stand, and we're going to close with this hymn. You know, before we do, I want to just pray for us. Heavenly Father, I would ask that none of us in here would walk out and say, oh, I've got that under control. No, Father, that we would all be mindful that we have a distance to go here. And it's such an important area, especially at this time of year. We'll all be in contact with others that we wouldn't, a lot of times throughout the year, not come in contact with. And Father, I pray that you would help us to walk wisely, redeem every opportunity, and to use words that are so perfectly suited to the situation, that you are lifted up and you are glorified. Lord, help us become more like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.